Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Over 2 hours ago, dog. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. I watched the video you sent me, Joe. I don't see definitive proof here that this is spat.
You don't?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, this is pretty definitive.
Okay.
This is pretty damning for Ja'Marr Chase. Yeah. I hadn't seen this video. Yeah. My question
you
now.
You just made the list.
How?
You said there was no video evidence.
I said I haven't seen video evidence.
Oh, moving the goalpost.
I'm not. I think it's exactly what I said. I think you're moving the goalpost to frame a narrative that you want to exist.
All right, I'll find the evidence that you're wrong. Hold on.
To be completely honest, I forgot what I said. You might be right.
Sassy Brad.
The question that I have, though, guys, how did he conjure up this amount of spit?
That's a great question.
This is a lot. He's running around. He's probably a little parched, right? Whenever I run around, I get a little parched and, drop to my knees and think I'm having a heart attack. But he's a professional athlete. How does he conjure up this big a loogie at the snap? That's tough to do.
I mean, he just...
That's impressive, really.
Maybe not really running around that much.
It's a cold day, too, right?
So, yeah.
How did he have this much spit? My goodness. I think that's the story. I think we're burying the lead. He went full Bill Romanowski on, was it J.J. Stokes that he did that to, Romanowski?
Sounds right.
This makes me like Jalen Ramsey more, too.
Yeah, it makes me like Ja'Marr Chase less.
Yeah, not a good look.
You can't spit on people. It doesn't matter, what's being said. Throw the punch. That's fine. I don't agree with that either because they're wearing a helmet, so it's kind of stupid. But I'd rather see my player throw a punch at someone than spit on them.
Ramsey's a dog. Ramsey just grabs his face mask and slaps him across his ear hole.
Yeah.
Atta boy, Ramsey. I want that guy on my football team. I want more Jalen Ramseys in the NFL. I don't put up with that crap. Thank you for sending me that video proof because I hadn't seen any video of that
team player
prior to that. Yeah, I appreciate it. You get the dime. You get an assist on that. Who had the biggest win in college football, Joe?
I don't know. You go first. I'm thinking.
Aggie.
Oh, yeah.
Aggie, you stay undefeated. You stay one of the top three teams in the country. Who cares what happened in the first half? Who cares that you're down 27? Who cares that you had a DPS trooper bumping the South Carolina player
crazy.
For no good reason? What they put together in the second half to come from behind is what champions are made from.
Oklahoma.
Good final 30 minutes for the Aggies.
Yeah, I mean, the first half was dreadful.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was comedy. It was an error after error. You get inside the 10 – you throw an interception, South Carolina big play, touchdown, which I think was where the little trooper ran into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the very first play, the next possession, you throw another interception.
Mm-hmm.
That was a terrible first half. They just rolled out of bed thinking they were going to win. They no-showed the first half. I really don't think differently of them because I still think at their peak, they're a really good football team. They showed that in the second half. Maybe wasn't a great win in terms of the total body of work and the sweat that you had to have. But I thought it showed the caliber of football team that they had, that they were able to come from behind like that.
Yeah, I value more the coming back and winning 31-30 than I do being down 30-3.
I do too.
Being able to put that together in the second half, your defense, the shutout South Carolina, to force multiple sacks by Sellers, to be getting him for the entire second half. I take more away from coming back and getting that victory than being down early.
What was the DPS trooper thinking, by the way?
I don't know.
What was the play there? He was just salty.
Was
I'm
he trying to bring him back?
These dudes. I wonder if he was trying not to let him go up the tunnel for some reason.
That was kind of he initiates the contact by going through them. But
yeah.
I wonder if he was because it was more than just the guy that scored the touchdown that went up the tunnel. So I wonder if he thought it was his role, which it's not, to bring them back from the tunnel.
Maybe that's the way to the Aggie locker room. I have no idea. That was bizarre behavior. Bizarre behavior. I'm glad they relieved him of his duties for the remainder of that game.
What'd you guys think of that Colin Klein halfback pass play that nearly gave the South Carolina a chance to win?
Nope, didn't like it.
Yeah,
it was such a weird time to get cute.
Yeah,
no,
it didn't make any sense.
Elko got paid before the game too.
$11.5 million a year, I think.
Over 11 AAV. Man, it's good to be a coach, huh?
It's a great thing to be a coach.
Sheesh. Georgia hammers Texas. This should end the Longhorns' playoff chances, right?
Absolutely.
Toast, done?
Toast.
No rebuttal?
No.
I mean, Alabama at 9-3 last year was one spot out of the playoff.
That's why I hesitated. I knew there was going to be a rebuttal there.
They should be out. I agree with you guys. I'm just saying it's not impossible.
See? Told you there's a rebuttal there, Joe.
I think they're going to drop too far in the rankings tomorrow.
They should be.
I mean, they're 17 in the AP. It's not a massive leap.
Yeah. We all hold the AP to such high regard.
The college football playoff rankings basically copy and paste it.
Look at this Longhorn wannabe trying to get the Longhorns back in the playoffs, Joe.
Oh, because you like the AP?
But they do. I love who they ranked 25th, though. That was smart. That was a good call. Go Cougs. Back in the AP. Didn't lose this weekend. Go Cougs.
That's true.
Number 25 in the country.
Number one in your heart.
No, I mean, I think there's a possibility. I'm just teasing you, Brian. I think there's a possibility, but chaos has to happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think so, because they're not going to get back to 10.
If they beat A&M, who's going to be, at worst, what, third in the country, mm-hmm. you don't think that gets them in?
Not to 10.
They're going to need help. You they're going to need Utah to lose. They're going to need BYU to lose. Yeah. They might even need Notre Dame to lose. Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't see how, because of the way the ACC and the non-power four team is playing out, you have to get to the number 10 team in the country. I struggle to see how UT gets to that point.
It have to be all those teams have to lose. BYU has to lose. Yeah. Utah has to lose. Notre Dame has to lose. Oklahoma has to lose.
They need chaos for sure. I don't know what you call it. 10%? It's just not zero.
I would say 3 tops. I don't think it's that high. 10% is too high.
I think it's too high.
It might be less than 3, really. Anyways, Kirby Smart. I love this from Kirby Smart so much. I could play for Kirby Smart right now.
Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the off season. It's what we build our core culture around, is being the more physical team. And you have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want to check. They don't want physicality. And if you have the check and no physicality, you end up with nothing.
That's right.
So we're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people.
We're hitting people and recruiting people that drive very fast. But I love the hitting. I love the hitting. Give me some physical football. It's what I love. Georgia was the tougher team. Texas, not as tough as Georgia. Might not be recruiting players who like to hit, like Kirby Smart said. You mentioned the Oklahoma win, went into Bama, ended the nation's longest home winning streak. Venable's statement victory, mm-hmm. biggest win he's had in his Oklahoma tenure. Do you know who now has the nation's longest home winning streak?
No.
Indiana.
Oh, really?
Indiana. I remember last year, early in the season, I was calling Indiana a football school. And people like, you don't know ball. I was like, they're a football school, guys. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you're an idiot. You know nothing. I just want to point out that I was on the right side of history there. Indiana, known football school. Texas Tech continues to roll. Most underrated team in college football. They continue to look very good. Notre Dame dumping the fabricated top 25 Pitt. The only reason Pitt was in the top 25 is because they were trying to find a way for Notre Dame to have another top 25 victory. That was the only reason Pitt was in the top 25. But why did Freeman brush off Narduzzi after the game like that, Joe?
I think it's because of the comments before the game.
He said that this isn't the most important game for us.
Yeah.
Those comments?
Yeah, I think there's something else there with Narduzzi and Marcus Freeman, but I'm not quite sure what.
Yeah, because if it was for those comments, that's really soft.
I mean, I don't think it'd be the garbage time touchdown they scored at the
end
of the game.
That would make more sense, I think.
I guess, but like it was irrelevant to everything in the game. Like, I don't think Marcus Freeman is worried that 37-15 looks that much worse than 37-9 in the eyes of the playoff committee.
No, it just might be one of those things. Like, what are you doing here? Like, you're trying to, like, our guys don't need to get hurt in garbage time.
Probably that, I would imagine. But it's not the first time Marcus Freeman's had a no contact with a coach after a game. It happened.
He acts like he has a stick up his behind most times.
That's all right.
A little Irish man like that.
I think it was USC.
Marcus Freeman.
I think Lincoln Riley, there was no interaction post game.
What's wrong with this guy?
Well, that one makes sense because USC is a bunch of cowards. So
why?
They don't want to play Notre Dame anymore?
That has nothing to do with Lincoln Riley.
You sure?
That comes from the administration. That's above his head.
Yeah.
BYU rolls TCU. That's enough about Notre Dame. BYU rolls TCU. BYU, severely underrated team. Incredibly underrated Utah, hammers Baylor. What do you think they're going to do with Aranda?
Move on?
Who's making the decision, though?
Well, that's what's hard, because now your AD's gone, right? So you got to hire someone immediately. But he hasn't been fired. He just stepped away. So yeah. You're probably kind of stuck, honestly.
I know. It's weird.
Like, unless they make a decision in the next 2 weeks about the AD, you probably can't really move on from Aranda.
Yeah, see what they do. Another terrible week for the ACC. Number 20, Louisville loses to Clemson. Number 16, Georgia Tech won, but almost got O'Brien. And then the best thing in the ACC lost to Wake Forest. Bill Belichick's the best thing that's ever happened to the ACC. Those poor guys lost. Belichick took a timeout so Wake Forest could run the score. That was so funny. And then Belichick got mad and big-leagued whoever Wake Forest's coach is, because he was unhappy about it.
I think the best thing that happened in the ACC was the 15-yard penalty on Bill O'Brien.
Oh, yeah, throwing down his headset. Teapot Bill.
He was fired
we're
up.
We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting.
They did fight in that game, though. Very easily could have come out victorious against
Georgia Tech.
What's up, Trevor? They could have. They almost did it. And then the group of five is interesting because Navy beat USF. Mm-hmm. James Madison's now the top-rated group of five in the AP. We'll see what happens with the committee, with a new look committee, by the way. We'll see what happens when the rankings come out tomorrow. I've been on record, and I'll stand on this. I'll die on this Taos Hill, Joe. I believe that the group of five representative for the playoff should come out of the American Conference.
I don't think it's going to.
They're getting it wrong then, because the American Conference is far superior than Conference USA.
I agree, but those ain't the rules. And if you want your freebie into the playoffs, then you got to follow the rules.
That feels like an rules? SEC argument.
What are the rules?
The top-rated team gets in, not best conference.
And they should rate the team in the American higher than they should rate the team in Conference USA.
We like James Madison better. Plain and simple.
We'll see. I think they're going to jump the American over James Madison.
I have a question about James Madison.
Okay. What's a guy?
They're Cozy. Bob Cousy, is that how you say it?
President of the United States.
Is being rumored for a lot of head coaching jobs. If they make the
Did you say Bob Cousy?
He's a former Celtics player, Bob Cousy.
Cousy steals the ball.
I don't remember his name.
That was half okay. A check.
Oh, my bad. They looked alike.
Well, because they're both white.
All right, Troy.
Yeah, and short point guards.
If James Madison,
Cousy stole a ball once.
If James Madison makes the playoffs, but their coach leaves, what do you do with them? Do you punish them?
No.
Or like if it
That's
like
so dumb. No.
Like, but we did with Florida State with their quarterback situation.
I don't think that's an apple.
Shouldn't do that with their quarterback, though.
I know, but they did. I know.
That's an apples and oranges argument.
But the coach who took them there, if he leaves and says, I'm going to Auburn and I'm bouncing before the playoffs start.
For a one-game scenario, though, I think, like, if you want to talk Vegas line, quarterback would mean more to the Vegas line than the coach.
Sure.
In a one-game scenario.
Yeah.
Plus, if they hired him, they shouldn't force him to leave before the playoff.
But the problem is
that would be Bush League.
And I know that they would most likely lose, right? So it shouldn't matter. But the portal's in January.
Why do you hate the Dukes?
But the portal's in January. So, like, I don't know how you don't leave immediately.
You let the coordinators do it. You hire your staff, let them go to work. You're right. He might leave.
Yeah, I just don't know how.
That would suck.
I'm just curious how the playoff committee will view it, because I think there is an argument to say, okay, let's say as the rankings stand right now, James Madison is, what, 22, North Texas is 23. But James Madison's head coach leaves for another job. Why wouldn't you just then take North Texas?
It should be North Texas anyways, because they're in a tougher conference, and their resumes are equal.
I enjoy Jeremy making the SEC argument.
I don't have any issue with the SEC argument.
I know. It's just usually you argue against it in favor of the Big 12.
Because the Big 12 is the most underrated conference in all of America.
And then the American's right behind it, apparently.
Apparently.
You know, the American is by far the best group. Like, the American's better than the ACC this year.
100%. It is.
Yeah, why would we not take the champion of the American whenever the resumes are comparable? I think that they're gonna. I really do. I think the American champion is going to represent the group of five in our country's playoff. I really do.
One of these teams has to – they got to stop losing to each other, though.
I know. That's the thing. They're cannibalizing each other.
But like
cannibalizing happening in the American Conference.
Like, how many losses can their champion have to still get in over JMU?
Should be two.
It's going to have to be one. It's going to have to be North Texas.
Well, that's Bush League and wrong.
Like, I think
I'm also not sure that the American's better than the ACC. I might have been a little embellishing there.
I don't know.
It depends on which metric.
Were you perhaps being hyperbolic?
No, Branham Power Index has the American Conference more powerful than the ACC. All right, the Junkies want to talk some college football, so who are we to say no? 713-780-3776. And did Virginia Tech get it right with James Franklin? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. 713-780-3776. Can you give away some U of H tickets to see the final game of the regular season, final home regular season game, Senior Day. Top 25, Houston Cougars. Love the AP. Top 2 Cougars, the most underrated conference in all of America. Give away some tickets here in a little bit. Junkie, appreciate this.
Junkie.
James Madison's in the Sun Belt. Touche, my bad. With all due respect, what's the difference?
It's true.
But my bad. I was wrong. I was wrong. I should have gotten that right. I apologize for the dozens and dozens of fans in the Sun Belt. I beg your forgiveness. I sound sarcastic now, but I am sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, the Americans better than both the Sun Belt and Conference USA combined.
That's true.
The Americans loaded, dude.
They've got a lot of good teams.
A lot of good teams.
And
look at this. Navy, Tulane, North Texas, USF, East Carolina's been good. Mm-hmm. Memphis had some big wins early this year. Like that's a good conference. Far better than anything that's being ran around in the Sun Belt and Conference USA.
I'm really curious.
Who's the second best team in the Sun Belt, Joe, without looking?
I have no idea.
There you go. I rest my case.
Brian?
I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you might know that.
Probably Southern Miss. Maybe the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina.
Oh.
The Monarchs of Old Dominion. South Alabama fighting Major Applewhites. Arkansas State's had a good year. Butch Jones over there. They've had a good season. All right. James Franklin hired by Virginia Tech. He was fired by Penn State. Hired by Virginia Tech. I heard this was going to happen 3 weeks ago. So what took so long? Do not know. But do you like this hire for Virginia Tech? Do you like this partnership for James Franklin?
I think it's a great hire for Virginia Tech. You want a coach who's going to come in and win and have ACC expectations? He can do that. Like he can win in that conference. And especially if they're going to spend money. That to me is where, like, is it a good relationship for James Franklin? Like, are they going to invest in NIL in the way that other programs have? But there are going to be people that want to play for James Franklin still. Like, he's won consistently at Penn State. This is a great move. And, like, it's a conference that I think this year is a reflection of who the ACC is now and going forward. And, like there's not a clear powerhouse in that conference coming anytime soon, it feels like. So I think this is a great hire for Tech. I think it's a good fit for James Franklin.
Do we call them that? Do we call them Tech? I don't feel like you can get away with that in Houston.
I don't know.
No, you can't do that.
Okay.
You can't do that. You got to call them Virginia Tech. Tech. Okay. When you say Tech in Houston, it's Texas Tech.
All right, good to know.
Yeah, you can't disrespect the most underrated conference in the country like that, Joe.
Sorry, I apologize.
But bringing up Tech reminds me that I watched the first episode of Landman yesterday. A lot of Big 12 love, whether it was Texas Tech, whether it was TCU. The daughter's going to go to TCU.
Come on.
Got a preferred walk-on as a cheerleader there.
Spoiler, bro.
I mean, that's not really, kind of spoiler.
I thought you hated spoilers.
I do, but it was so minor that it didn't really register.
I'm going to watch it tonight.
Yeah, I love Landman.
It's great.
What a show.
It's very good.
They're fracking out in the plains. Yeah. So good. James Franklin found a fan base that is satisfied with 8-4, Robert and Beaumont. Isn't JMS FCS? No, they're not. They're very much FBS, James Madison. And
they have been for, what, like 5 years?
Yeah, I think they made the transition. Yeah, well, Key from L.A., JoJo, please, Notre Dame don't want no more spoke with USC, buddy.
What's the record in the last 10 games?
No clue.
Oh, it's 8-2 for Notre Dame? Okay.
Oh, is it that high?
Yeah.
Wow. AP poll is a joke. Ole Miss jumps Tech for struggling to beat Florida. Good point. What a terrible decision that was. I didn't realize that happened. How does that happen? Three-loss Texas should get in over two-loss Notre Dame. I don't disagree with that. I think Texas is a better football team than Notre Dame.
I don't agree, but
if they played right now in a neutral field, Texas is favored by 3.5 points.
I guess. I think Notre Dame wins the game, though. I would take Notre Dame over Texas.
I think Notre Dame would be favored.
I'm trolling.
I think it might be less than three either way, though.
Whose loss is better? Because that's what matters in college football. What about
which one?
Lane Kiffin in Baton Rouge?
Well, apparently, like the scuttlebutt on Twitter right now, or X, whatever, is Ole Miss is kind of putting feet to the fire here because reportedly he's been scouting both Baton Rouge and Gainesville.
Yeah,
for houses.
I love this. Stuart Mandel, Ole Miss has told Lane Kiffin he needs to decide by the November 28th Egg Bowl whether he's staying at Ole Miss or taking the Florida or LSU job. Or what? What are they going to do? Like, what if Lane Kiffin lets the deadline pass, and then on November 29th, he says, oh, I'm leaving. What is Ole Miss going to do? Write him like a strongly worded letter? Like, what is this empty threat? Like, this is one of those, like, empty threats as a parent. Like, if you don't do your homework, I'm not letting you eat dinner. Yeah, you are. You're still going to let him eat dinner. If he decides that he wants to take the job at any point past November 28th, he's going to take the job.
Yeah.
Some empty threat.
No, I mean, it would be best for Ole Miss to have that decision early.
Of course.
But
I mean, I don't think this is the way to handle it. Like, if you're asking, like, you know, hey, let's agree here, let's come together on a deadline, let's both be professionals about this. You know, you go ahead and go shop around for 2 weeks. You know, we'll vet, you know, potential candidates in case you do leave. But do you think we can agree on a date where we have some sort of resolution? That's the way you handle it. You handle it behind closed doors. You don't play this out publicly. That's the stupidest thing you can do.
Yeah, but isn't that how Franklin kind of played out this weekend?
You know, Franklin's not employed by anybody.
No, I know, but like it was like the reports on Saturday were like was that Virginia Tech wanted an answer, and they got their answer today.
It's different when you're unemployed.
I don't know.
So like, what is Lane? What do they? What's Ole Miss is going to be like? He haven't given us the decision. We're going to fire him.
No, I think this is a bad decision because this makes me feel like if I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm like, well, then I'm over this.
I think I see. Whenever I read this, I think Lane Kiffin might already have one foot out at the door. Because if Ole Miss is so desperate they're playing this out publicly, well, why are they playing it out publicly? Because they might already have a sneaky suspicion of which way it's going to go.
Well, that has happened before with this guy.
Right.
He got fired at Alabama before the playoff, wasn't it? Because he was leaving to go to Florida Atlantic, so Saban fired him as the OC?
Yeah, didn't he replace him with Sark or something like
that? Yeah.
Okay, like, well then, why is that bad though?
Because he was because he was one foot out the door. So like, but like, I don't know what Ole Miss is like. They're not going to do what Nick Saban did.
See, I think Ole Miss might realize that Lane's leaving. Like, I haven't really felt that way up until this report because I don't think playing it out publicly is something you would do if you think Lane's staying. Like, if you think Lane's just doing all of this, like, to vet it, to maybe get an extension, to maybe get a raise, like, all of that, I don't think you're playing it out publicly. I think that Ole Miss has a feeling that Lane's leaving, and that's why they're kind of trying to, like, force it.
So, and they think he's going to leave before the playoffs?
See, that's what's weird about it, too.
Because, like, again, like, I don't think you I don't know if you should punish a team in the college football playoffs, but if they're not an automatic bye, like, wouldn't you want to rank them lower than they currently are at least a little bit without their head coach?
Like, maybe it's a report that's wrong. Like, reports are wrong all the time, but
there's a lot of smoke here.
I know.
There's too much smoke for there to be nothing happening. And honestly, where's his contract? Right? Like, Matt Rhule got his contract right away. Cignetti got his contract right away. Where's his contract?
Maybe he's been offered it and hadn't accepted it.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. Is that they're trying and he won't sign, but he also hasn't then committed to either Florida or LSU at this point because maybe he wants to run it. He wants to finish it out no matter what.
That'd be so weird. Also, Ole Miss could find Kiffin in breach of contract like the Raiders did and give Pete Golding the interim title. They're going to do that when they're in the thick of the playoff race? We'll see.
I would get it. I get why they would do it because they're upset he's leaving. But then just up your offer. Make him stay.
Yeah. How would it work if Navy ends up being in the discussion for fifth highest ranked conference champ? Final college football rankings come out before Army-Navy game? That'd be a mess. Yeah, that's weird how they do that stuff.
Well, I mean, you would hope that Navy is ranked higher significantly than, like, James Madison at that point, right?
I mean, if you lose to Army, you would fall. But the thing, the Navy's not the currently not the top ranked American team. They're third.
No, but they are in the technically AP. Technically they're in first place in the conference right now.
Yeah, but they do play a conference championship game.
Yeah, but like, and that's also because they've played one more conference game at this point. Like,
I don't know. It's interesting though. Like, if they won the American and then they lose to Army, that would stink.
But the playoffs are set. So you just have this awkward thing in front of you. You don't know what to deal with.
It's like a Pro Bowl.
I will say, though, like, I don't think they beat Notre Dame at all, but they're a different football team they were this weekend than they were against Notre Dame because they're quarterback.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have him against Notre Dame. And they are a completely different quarterback with
which is why we should ding Notre Dame.
Why?
I mean, that's what they do. Like, you ding teams for beating teams that don't have their starting quarterback.
They're not going to ding Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to make
– I know they're not because they have a Notre Dame bias.
Sorry.
Because they're golden domers.
Sorry.
All right, 713-780-3776. How about the Rockets, huh? How about the Rockets winning a couple of games? Rocket power! How about this one last night? Dodged a bullet, huh? But got a win. Hyperbolic Hollins is at it, and Hollins defending Reed Sheppard? Huh? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Final regular season home game for the Houston Cougars coming up on Saturday. You got to be there. UHCougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS. The criminally underrated Big 12, the 25th-ranked Houston Cougars hosting TCU. 8-2 Cougars, ranked in the top 25 in both polls, AP and in the coaches. So let's show the Houston Cougars what Cougar pride really looks like. Join us this Saturday for Senior Day as the 25th-ranked Houston Cougars take on the Horned Frogs of TCU. 3 p.m. kick. Perfect weather out there at TDECU Stadium on Saturday. It'll be great for tailgating. It'll be great for watching the final home game of the season. Let's fill every seat, turn TDECU Stadium red, and send our seniors out with the support that they deserve. Top 25 team, and because they're in the top 25, tickets start at just $25. So bring the energy and the noise to TDECU Stadium. Get your tickets now, uhcougars.com/tickets, or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy, the Huntington Bank bad boy. Cougars are 8-2. Number 25 team in the country, play in the most underrated conference in all of college football. Senior
accurate?
Game. Yes, Nick. You should know that. You're out there all the time. Senior game. Come out and celebrate the seniors, honor the seniors that are responsible for this 8-2 record. Tickets are just $25. What a deal. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. Weather's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great atmosphere. So come early, be loud, wear red. We're going to give away a pair of tickets if you can answer this question correctly. 713-780-3776. First person to answer correctly, who the Houston Cougars beat the last time they won a bowl game. Who did the Cougars beat last time they won a bowl game? 713-780-3776. And I will see you out at TDECU Stadium Saturday when you're 8-2, 25th-ranked Houston Cougars host the Horned Frogs of TCU. All right, Joe, Rockets won a pair of basketball games over the weekend last night, beating the Magic. We had a junkie earlier. Should be celebrating Rockets, not the Texans. The Rockets look good. Oh, before we talk about the Rockets, I forgot I need a U of H Cougar hijack. Houston yesterday in Birmingham beat the 22nd-ranked Auburn Tigers, Joe, 73-72. Fantastic win. Kingston Fleming's named the Big 12 Newcomer of the Week and the Big 12 Player of the Week today. A good quality win for the Houston Cougars, now 4-0 on the season. What were your main takeaways of this dominating Cougar win by one?
Just really, really impressed with what they're doing on a daily basis. I don't understand the AP rankings.
Yeah, I told you. It's weird. I mean, Purdue started off number one. They struggled a little bit against Oakland. Purdue still had more first-place votes than Houston, yet Houston last week jumped them. Purdue had a good win at Alabama. Houston destroyed Oakland in a much more convincing fashion than Purdue did, and won at, you know, in Birmingham against Auburn. 15,000 Auburn fans were there. And then Purdue jumped Houston again in the AP. Cougars fall to number two.
Yeah, but doesn't make any sense.
AP I don't voters, really care about AP
AP
polls.
Voters are stupid.
Yeah. But nice win. Daily basis, doing their work, as Joe George would say. Good quality win, though. The Cougars looking good. Rockets dodged a bullet yesterday. They were down 11 points with 9 minutes to play. Durant saved them. Not a great start to the game. Really kind of I don't know how to call it. They were kind of flat, I thought. Ryan Hollins rightfully calling them out on it. But they finished strong, forced overtime, one really bad sideline out-of-bounds play that led to a turnover in the Magic lead, but then a really good sideline out-of-bounds play, Alpe finishing at the rim, sent it to overtime, and then the Rockets won in OT.
Yeah, I watched the game this morning, so I knew the result. But as I was watching it, I was like, how are they going to win this basketball game? It made no sense to me as I was watching, because they didn't play well.
No.
A majority of this game. Like the fact that they won, it's impressive, because even though like there's no Banchero, there's no Suggs, you just got to find a way. And we saw why you traded for Kevin Durant in this game.
Yeah, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's just cold-blooded. Like, that's the kind of guy you need in the fourth quarter to make big shots in overtime.
Cold-blooded.
That the out-of-bounds play from Alpe's, yikes.
So you blame Alpe there?
Well, he missed the men also.
Yeah, I thought that was a miss for sure.
Yeah,
he was getting onto Adams for something too. I don't really know why he was getting onto Adams.
Yeah, so it feels like it's just always bad. So I don't know if it's not. I don't think it's singularly on Alpe.
Yeah, I don't think his pass to Durant was a poor one though. Like Durant slipped.
Yeah, no, it's just like everything kind of that could go wrong went wrong. Like you had a man open, then Durant slips. You're yelling at Adams for some reason.
Yeah, so I don't know why.
I don't know what he missed, but it just all kind of was a mess in that play. But then they made up for it.
Maybe he's supposed to pop for the ball or something. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad scenario, though, if you give the ball to Durant with 5.5 seconds left in a tie game.
Yeah, like, not at all.
The decision for, like, yes, he missed him in. Maybe he thought it was a dangerous pass. Maybe he didn't see through, like, the defender or whatever. He thought it was too dangerous, didn't want to turn it over. Like, I'm okay. Okay, Durant, here you go, midcourt, 5.5, go win us the game. And then Durant slips. That was unfortunate. You starting to come around on my Shingun flamingo shot?
Yeah, I'm out on it.
Yeah, he actually hit one yesterday. Well, yeah, I hate when he makes them.
He hit the first one.
Yeah.
And then
that's why I hate when he makes them.
Because then he kept taking them.
Yeah, because then he's like, I'm going to take 20.
Yeah, and it just the more – and maybe it's because Hollins was like so excited about it.
Yeah.
About the flamingo shot.
I know.
Maybe it's the name. It makes me like it less.
Well, you don't think it sounds manly?
Yeah. Correct, yeah. But it's not a good shot for Alpe. So
no, I did think that he played really well yesterday though. Like he was making good decisions, taking care of the basketball a little bit more. Still finished with 5 turnovers, but the shooting percentage wasn't fantastic. But I was pretty pleased with Alpe yesterday. Durant was phenomenal. Did you catch some? I caught some hyperbole. It wasn't with the flamingo shot, but it was with an Alpe fadeaway jumper.
Okay.
I think it was in the first quarter, maybe. But Alpe hits a fadeaway jumper from the baseline, all right? It's a good shot. Like, hey, hit your fadeaway jumpers. I don't have a problem with Alpe taking 15-foot baseline jumpers, fading away, if there's, like, you know, less than 10 seconds on the shot clock. I have no problem with the shot selection. But this was, you know, it was a good-looking shot, little fadeaway that we see a lot of centers do. And hyperbolic Hollins comparing him to a Rocket all-time great.
And look at Alpe. I mean, this is tough as it gets. Spin fade over your right hand shoulder to the baseline. Is that Hakeem? No, that's Alperen Şengün.
That feels like a make good for the Durant one.
And it's Hakeem, not Hakeem, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's get our Rocket legends right if you're going to work for the team, please. Go Cougs.
That's tough.
Also, happy birthday, Elvin Hayes, the greatest Houston Cougar basketball player of all time. As a college player. Yeah, I mean, look, I like Alpe, but let's not call the fadeaway. Let's not make it a comparison to the Dream Shake, please.
Yeah, but that's what Hollins is doing. Everything is compared to the greatest thing since basketball was created. That's the problem.
He really does.
It's just, you can say it's dream-like, but to straight compare it to it is, it's a 7.
Yeah, I think it's pretty high. He's trying to make him like Elijah. And he botched Hakeem's name.
Yeah, that's
Hakeem.
He's going to get roasted for that one.
Hakeem.
Rightfully so.
Hakeem. It's Hakeem.
Especially like if you're not sure, just say Dream.
The H is silent, like Humble.
Yeah. Well, he probably says Humble.
Or just Elijah one.
Yeah. Hey, you've got a lot of options there. Get it right. Get it right.
You Dream, Olajuwon. Instead, he goes with Akeem and then botches it.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right. So that's hyperbolic. Did you notice anything else from Hollins?
Yeah. Look, I know you're the team broadcaster. I thought he was a little extreme in his defending of Reed Sheppard tripping one of the Magic players yesterday. He just kept going on and on. And it's like it was so obvious that Reed stuck his foot out for the trip. He was trying to defend it based on whatever the Magic player might have said to him, but you can't be tripping people. Like, you're going to get called for that. It was just too much for me.
I thought it was so weak for Reed Sheppard to trip Desmond Bane.
The dude
stuffs it in your face cleanly. He talks his trash because he's a veteran talking to a second-year player. Okay, that's going to happen. And then he trips him?
Yeah.
That was like Danny Ainsworth. That was like Danny Ainge throwing the ball at Mario Elie's face. Like, tripping him? That was so soft, Reed Sheppard.
Yeah,
it was soft.
It was soft, and I just couldn't believe that Hollins wouldn't back down. He's like, well, he might have said something to him. Like, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good excuse to trip someone.
I saw that you put this note in the rundown, and I also like grabbed some audio before I saw it. But here, Brian, play these out of order. Here was Hollins justifying Reed tripping Bane on that play.
I don't mind the flagrant. He intentionally tripped him, no question. But how about the slap in the back of the head, missed foul there, and then what Bane said should have been a technical.
He doesn't mind the flagrant.
That's crazy.
He doesn't mind that Reed Sheppard tripped Desmond Bane as he was running up the floor because he blocked his shot, what maybe was a personal foul, and Desmond Bane was talking his ish, and he's going to justify Reed Sheppard committing a flagrant foul.
Yeah. Like, you got to keep it even. So keep that same energy.
I don't mind it.
When Draymond Green trips Alpi,
yeah,
when they play the Warriors later this year, you're going to go, don't mind it.
That's the thing, is people don't keep the consistency. They don't. You know, if you're gonna want Aziz Alshire to hit Trevor Lawrence, you gotta be okay when CJ Stroud gets hit too.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be okay with it. And this wasn't the flagrant. This was earlier in the game. You know, Reed Sheppard, not known for his defense, does have good hands, has active hands. Maybe gets a little bit too handsy at times. But this was Reed Sheppard reaching in and fouling somebody, and then Hollins defending Reed Sheppard.
Reaching into the old cookie jar there, picked up the foul. I don't mind that from Reed Sheppard. He was fighting. There's a chance the referees don't call that defensive play where he fouled him. But I love how he stood his ground right there. You see the improvement.
There you go. Is there anything that Reed Sheppard can do wrong in Ryan Hollins' eyes?
Clearly not.
If Reed Sheppard broke into somebody's home and stole all their jewelry, would Ryan Hollins say, I can understand why?
I don't mind.
He should have had
money.
All the jewelry.
I don't mind. He needs some swag.
Ryan Hollins stole, if Reed Sheppard stole somebody's G-Wagon, would it be okay? Well, Ryan Hollins, in my eyes, I don't mind it because the guy should have never had the G-Wagon. It's just Reed Sheppard being physical and strong-minded. It's something I want to see from the second-year player.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Ryan. Like, that works.
He loves him some Reed Sheppard. Reed's been playing good, though.
Good offensive
game again yesterday.
He's played a lot better. I think the active hands are good. I don't mind the foul, but like he has been playing much better as of late, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's still limited defensively, for sure. Like, he's always going to be. Now, they play zone, get a couple steals. Now, if you can do what he's doing offensively, you can live with it. And the offense is looking good. I love what they're doing with him, too. I like how they're using him differently than they were at the start of the year, a little bit more off the ball. I also love that he's the guy on the second unit, like running plays for him, running him off screens, getting him some good looks, because he is starting to show that offensive prowess that many expected of him when he was drafted.
Yeah, and I think to the defensive side, like the one thing is it might not be good, but there's clear effort there. I think that does matter because a lot of times in the NBA we see players who are not good defensively and they don't try. I don't see that when I watch Reed Sheppard play basketball.
I don't mind his defense because he's giving me good hustle, good effort.
I appreciate that at least.
Yeah, don't mind it.
Still not good.
Joe sounded like Ryan Hollins a little bit.
He's trying his hardest.
News from Friday. Rockets won, but Tari Eason straining his oblique.
Yeah.
This is what's going to cost him millions of dollars, by the way, not end-of-quarter heaves, not halftime heaves. The injury concerns are real for Tari Eason. Just look at his career. Games played, season by season, this is an injury-prone guy.
It's unfortunate, but this is the reason why he's not signed to the Rockets, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Like when they're negotiating, the Rockets are coming in at a lower number. They're looking at being on the court as an important factor for this, especially for Ime Udoka. He's not on the court enough. It's unfortunate. Yeah. But
I think it's going to hurt him in free agency. Yeah. He's going to be a restricted free agent. I don't know if anybody's going to give him the contract that he wants.
I mean, maybe some dumb team will, but
yeah. Let's get to the junkie of the day. Who's your junkie of the day, Joe?
All right. So I was at a one-year-old's birthday.
I forgot we didn't have music for that. I was waiting for the music.
So I was at a one-year-old's birthday party yesterday, okay?
Okay.
It was at a park. And I saw something I've never seen before. This random lady just joined the party. Her and her toddler. There was a full meal. They sat down. They ate it. And then they peaced from the party.
You say this is Bush League?
I think it's Bush League.
So they were there just for the food and then left?
They were just there. They were just random people. They were not invited.
Oh.
They were just random people.
They were like
people.
Birthday crashers?
Yes. They were just at the park.
Wow.
They were just at the park, and then they just crashed the birthday party.
Wow.
And then ate and then left.
So how do you guys figure out that no one knows them?
The parents of the kid.
Wow.
Did they say anything?
They didn't want to like have like a confrontation or anything, so they just kind of let it go. Like they didn't want
That's
wanna,
nice.
They didn't want to have like a big moment. And I was like, that's probably I handle it too.
Yeah.
Because like it was a nice like a mom and like the kid, but like still I couldn't believe that it was happening.
That's awesome.
Just like just that mom and kid,
they're dogs.
Yeah.
They're dogs.
I'm a dog.
Junkie for free food too. I love it. What an alpha move. That like, mom is teaching that kid the right way to live.
Yeah, never seen that one before.
Listen, like the alphas come in there. No one knows who they are. They eat your food. They crash your party and they leave. Yeah. And all the betas are like, who are those people? Love it. Love every minute of it. Draymond Green is weak. He was being called Angel Reese and confronted the fan that was calling him Angel Reese.
Yeah.
Soft, Draymond. Wear it. It's kind of funny. Kind of hilarious. Dylan Danis, too. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
Yeah.
This guy who started the fight at UFC. Apparently, he was showing AI footage of Islam and his trainer making out.
Mm-hmm.
And this led to the people like beating him up and starting a brawl at Madison Square Garden the other day.
And now
which
he's
Islam,
banned.
By the way, like destroyed the dude he was fighting.
Yeah.
The he's two belts now, two belt Islam. I think he had to surrender the other one though, but a dominating effort after a massive brawl by this Dylan fella. All right, what's your junkie, Brian?
I've got two quick nominations. One, the Titans for the third year in a row losing to the Texans' backup quarterback at home. C.J. Stroud has never played at the Titans. That the Texans are 3-0 during Stroud's time with the team.
Wow.
And also, if you haven't seen the play, Darnell Washington single-handedly like running through five Bengals players on a pass last yesterday. I mean, the dude's like a 300-pound tight end, completely ragdoll some Bengals defenders. Definitely a video you should check out.
Josh from Seabrook says the DPS trooper at the Aggie game. And then Hockley Dan says Joe for saying Bob Cousy is an NCAA head coach.
Bob Chesney, I was Joe. Close.
So who's winning?
I'm going to go with the trooper, man.
Yeah, I think it's got to be
Definitely the trooper.
Congratulations, trooper. You might never work again, but you won junkie of the day. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Goodbye. Buckyball coming up later. The Bucky McMillan Show at 7. Good night, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.